that over and over again. People that are shoddy in their school life are shoddy then in their Christian work. For some years ago, I was holding a revival in Northern California, and the pastor's wife would not attend service. And so when I was staying in the pastor's home, and I observed what was going on, I came back and I really let that woman have it right there in the parking. Go down to church if you want to preach. And I said, no, this is where the congregation is that needs it. And you don't understand. I want to be a missionary. And I said, God couldn't trust you in China or India or South America if he can't trust you here in this city. Now, beloved, it is nonsense for us to talk about, well, when I get out on the field and I get my own church, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. No, that's not going to work, beloved. Now, the Bible teaches that you that are instructed, you ought to pick out people that are faithful, people that are honorable, people that will take the teaching of the Word, a diligent student, one that is loyal to the message, and spend your time with that kind of. Don't waste your time with somebody that is mixed up with all kinds of isms and schisms. And there are people out there that need to be reached, and we need to teach them after we reach them. But the next thing he says is in verses 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, I have a friend that used to be an army officer, and he tried to pastor like he was an army officer. And I said, now, friend, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in the Lord's army volunteered. There are no draftees. Now, when you volunteer, and that's what we did, isn't it? I mean, after all, I do not believe in irresistible grace. I believe that you had a choice in the matter. And I have enlisted in the Lord's army. Now, what if you go down to the recruiting office and you ought to get in the army? And you say to that recruiting officer, now, I'd like to be in the army, but can you guarantee that I won't get hurt? Can you get, you know, during World War II, when somebody shot at me, I got the distinct impression he was mad. You know, it just came across kind of loud and clear, but I was in the army. Now, there are people that have the idea that they can be in the Lord's army, and that, after all, if somebody hurts my feelings, then I'm going to go home. And I'm going to drop out. Now, beloved, that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we ought to endure hardness. Now, again, I think we ought to understand, too, that there is an opportunity for victory. And you enlist in an army, you do it for battle. And the idea is that you are going to be victorious, or certainly you wouldn't enlist in a losing cause. But you know, the thing that I think most of us forget is that as soldiers, we are not going to be involved in the development of strategy. Now, Lord, I think if I could just pastor over here, I could really be of service to you. You know, I never did have a general call me in and say, now, soldier, we're going to plan this battle. And we'd like to have your ideas about it. We'd like a little feedback. We'd like some of your conclusions. No, they just told me where to go. And if I didn't go there, they had a way of making me sorry that I didn't go there. Now, beloved, may I point out to you, we are in the Lord's army. He is in charge. And He will send us and use us the way He wants. We have heard the call, and we have answered. Now act like a soldier. Be ready to be wounded. Be ready to have some real difficult times. K-rations never did just really appeal to me. When I was in the Army, we had three kinds of C-rations. Stew, pork and beans, and hacks. And you could have stew for breakfast, and hash for lunch, pork and beans for supper. You know, alternate them any way you wanted to. But you took a bayonet, hit that thing, and ate them cold. That's real living, folks. But you see, there are some people that say, oh, I can't sacrifice. I can't do anything here. But notice again what he says here. In verse 5, and if a man also strive for mastery, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. This is a leader is like an athlete. We're getting ready for the Olympics. And, I guess most of you saw where Bruce Jenner and his wife have separated. And I guess they're getting a divorce. But anyway, they have separated. She supported that man for a number of years as he prepared himself for the Olympics. Oh, I can never be an Olympic athlete. How do you know? You never tried. I dare say none of us have ever dedicated ourselves like an Olympic champion has to dedicate himself to the task. It isn't a matter of just, you know, getting out and walking around the block. It isn't a matter of jogging around the block. It's a matter of constant, day after day, week after week, hours every day. If you want to be a master of anything. Have you ever noticed how people... if there's ever an Olympics in preaching, I'll win the gold medal. Thank you. And you can win the silk. We'll team up there. But the point is, have you ever seen a man that is good at something? Some years ago, we were roofing the auditorium over at Dominguez. And I was up there. And I was making a shingle every 30 seconds. A couple of fellas pulled up there quite easy. Hey, do you need some help up there? And I said, you bet I do. And they were roofers. They came up there and they had their roofing apron on. And they had their roofing hatchet. They threw those things in their mouth. I mean, that was poetry in motion. They were Olympic champions at putting on a roof. I've seen plastic. I can get a little up there on the wall. I can't box her like a fighter. But let me tell you something, If you're going to be a real leader for the Lord, you're going to have to dedicate yourself just as much as that Olympic champion dedicates himself. And not only that, you're going to have to go by the rules. May I remind you of the Indian, Jim Thorpe, that had to return his gold medal because he did not go by the rules. How many times have we seen somebody that was the winner of a beauty pageant and somehow they had not gone by the rules? And they had their pride in the girl. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says you are not going to be crowned unless you strive lawfully. You can run 100 yards returning a punt or a kickoff, but if you just hit that line on the side, that's where you're doing. That's where it's done. They have boundaries on a football field, and everybody can understand that. But you know, there are a lot of us that cannot understand that we've got to do that. We have to go by the rules, or it doesn't count. Let me show you something else. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Now, a husband is a farmer. Now, a farmer, let's say that you're a dairy farmer. You don't say to your kids, well, kids, we've got to drink water this morning. Because the people in town want our milk. No. The dairy farmer says, kids, drink up. And out of our abundance, we will share with the council. You never heard of a beef farmer raising cattle and saying, kids, all we've got is some Cheerios to eat. No. But do you get the picture? I shouldn't be able to tell you all that I know about Scripture. As I fill myself up and I begin to dig into the Word of God, when I come before a congregation, I should just give you some of the spillover, if you please. I should have my heart so filled with the Word of God that I can't wait to get in the book. That I can't wait to share with you. And when I get through, I would have as many more things that I could say than I've already said. Out of the abundance. That's the way a farmer does. A farmer doesn't say, oh, I tell you what, it doesn't look like we're going to have enough to eat here, but we've got to give to other people. No. I just give you a little bit of what I know. One fellow got up one night and said, everything I know, Brother Ken, is a talk. I said, thank God I didn't teach you all I know. And my friends, I think we need to understand, if you're going to be a leader, you're going to have to dig. You're going to have to know something. You're going to have to know a lot more than the people that you teach. You're going to have to share with them only out of the abundance that you have, the overflow of the crop. Our problem is we don't spend any time. Oh, it's Saturday night. What am I going to do in the morning? What a shame. What a shame. And then that very famous passage of Scripture. The 15th. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. That's the way a leader is. He is a workman. But it's very interesting if you will look at the verse, I don't want to shatter your little plate here. But before you read verse 15, you ought to read verse 20. And then after you have read verse 15 and 14, you ought to read verse 16. Verse 14 says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive now about words. We got a lot of talk and very few walks. Oh, so many people can talk and brag about what they're going to do. And Paul warns against that. He says, be a workman, not a talker. Look at verse 16. But shun profane and vain babbling. I'd rather see somebody work than somebody standing around talking. You know, I have seen churchmen that could just talk up a storm about what they're going to do and what they could really do for God's work. Just talk. Let's stop going. Start going. I think that's what the Bible says. I think that we need to warn people against it. They're always planning. They're always making all kinds of schemes. Why not just get about the master's business and let him use our work? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word. Not standing around arguing about who the two witnesses are. Not standing around arguing about some of these fine points of doctrine. Let's get out there and preach the word. My responsibility is to preach the word. It is God's responsibility to use that word and accompany it by His Holy Spirit. But if I shun what I'm supposed to do, then I cannot expect the Lord to bless. Look at verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. A true leader is a servant. You know, a lot of people don't like that idea. But the word there is bondservant. I belong to the Lord. I don't belong to myself. It is not my purpose. As a soldier, I could not say to my commanding officer, well, I think it's time for me to go back home, and my family needs me right now to put some money together and so forth. We got a lot of bills. Tell you something, my friend. It was my responsibility to fulfill the office of the Lord that you have enlisted in the Lord's army. It is your business to serve in that capacity. And there will be people that will take advantage of you, but there are lots of servants that are taking advantage. But if I can serve God and God's people, there's nothing else that I want to do. I'm not interested in amassing a fortune. I'm not interested in going into some kind of a business enterprise that would make me a great deal of money or give me prestige. Dedicate yourself to one thing. You may not be the fastest man in the world, but you can be the best in the place that God has put you if you will strive for the master. Be a good thing. A good actor. A good friend. A good church. And a good deal.
Brother, did you notice one thing? or Brother Cannibal preaching that might go down in your terrain. Every time you walk by here, you see every word he said is weight and fan raised up about a half inch. God help you commit suicide if you can't put energy behind your preaching. Hurt your belly. He used all of his energy when he was preaching because he had something to preach. And if you preach it like you're ashamed of it, then those who listen probably ashamed of that. Put it out. That's leadership too, you know. That's leadership. Brother Hubbard came by and said, "He's putting out too much energy. I hear about it, I get it." That's good. If you have to die, die. Do it again. Right. That's true. Good, right. Does anybody have anything to say? You've got a few minutes. If you get through with your business yesterday, or the master ceremony is ending. Well, I suppose you did say.